So one common question that we get here at the National Embryo Donation Center is, am I able to adopt special consideration embryos that may be at a higher likelihood of having chromosomal or genetic abnormalities? Well, the answer is yes, you certainly can adopt special consideration embryos. And today on this edition of the Embryo Adoption Podcast, we're going to be talking with one National Embryo Donation Center couple who is considering doing just that. You're with the Embryo Adoption Podcast. I'm Mark Mellinger, your host and the Marketing and Development Director at the NEDC. You can find out more about us by going to embryodonation.org. Again, it's embryodonation.org. My guests today are Todd and Glory Fletcher. So good to have you guys with me. And let's start here. I mean, we're going to get to your backstory later, but I think we just start right where I was talking about. You are considering adopting special consideration embryos. Talk about what types of embryos you're looking at and why this was important to you.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to lead off? Okay, so I think one of the things that was really important to us is adopting those that kind of needed it the most. With the consideration that we have three biological children of our own from ages like 8 to 3, and you know, trying to be wise about what we could handle as a family. And so there were some of the special needs that we felt like we knew that we weren't ready for. But as we spoke with the nurses when we met with them at our first appointment, we told them that we did want to adopt embryos that were going to be maybe less likely to be picked. That's just been on our hearts since day one. And they both kind of just looked at each other and then were like, well, I think we have the ones for you, you know, and they started telling us about Hep B embryos and how they can get this marker on their profile if either of the donors, you know, ever had or currently had Hep B. And the chance of transmission to the mom is, you know, pretty much nil. And so we were feeling like this was actually a really positive opportunity for us, because we felt like we could handle that, you know, and possibly also adopt embryos that weren't so likely to be adopted.
And then also I'll just add, one of the things that we're doing adoption for is because we want to show our children and also our church family that, you know, just the beauty of adoption in general. And you see that in the Bible, you see that with us being adopted into God's family. And so thinking about ourselves as not being the best and the brightest, you know, God brings us into his family, and you have to first recognize that it's by God's grace. And so we've always had a heart to adopt those that are least likely to be adopted. Mm-hmm. And when we found out about these embryos and the fact that they are quarantined and they're not likely to be adopted, even though there's very little risk to the to the couple that is adopting of Hep B being transmitted, that was kind of exactly our heart, was we want to adopt those that are least likely to be adopted. And so, you know, Glory's heart has been, how can we bring awareness to the situation, as we talked with you about? And I think as a pastor, I know a lot of different pastors who are totally unaware of embryo adoption, not to mention of the situation with those children that have the Hep B marker. And so this is why we wanted to do the podcast, is because we thought this might be an opportunity to bring more awareness to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's never, and you said this, but I'll just underscore it. You know, although those embryos do have to be stored separately, to our knowledge, there's never actually been a case of a Hep B infection or any sexually transmissible infection being passed on to either mother or baby in these cases. So as you said, Todd, the risk is actually quite low. But okay, these Hep B embryos are still in our special consideration category, along with embryos who may be at greater risk for chromosomal abnormalities like Down syndrome. There may be an increased likelihood that they could have a condition such as autism. And you know, that's either because of genetics or family history. And these embryos, yes, they are harder to place. Singleton embryos, embryos that were just donated as to us as the one single embryo. So there's not a set, you know, there's not two or more. All of these embryos are harder to place, and we love it when we have couples who come in and have a heart for this. So if you are, well, you are. You're talking to people who could potentially do this and may have a heart that's leaning in the same direction as the two of you. Any specific ways you'd encourage them to think or pray about this decision?
I think this has been such a matter of thought. Todd's been watching me just like go through this whole process ever since our first meeting of like risk assessment. And I, you know, just pored over journals about what does this mean, you know, if you have a Hep B marker for the mom, for the baby, for our children, you know, all of our children, you know, biological, adopted, the family. And, you know, I would read these journals that said there's just no risk. You know, you just vaccinate the baby once they're born and it's taken care of 100%, no potential for Hep B. And then others said there's maybe 85 to 95% success rate with these vaccinations and treatments. And so I'd tell Todd, there's no risk. And then the next day I'd be like, well, there's a risk. And, you know, going back and forth. And finally, I think the Lord has just brought my heart to the place where Todd probably landed pretty quickly, was his calling always involves risk, you know. But there's this hymn by Arthur Ritchie that I've been really dwelling on. It says, stand not in fear, your adversaries counting, dare no peril save that of disobedience. And, you know, just thinking about the fact that we can try to minimize risk in our lives. But if we know God's calling us to something, the only risk that we should really fear is obeying him. Because there's such provision in his will and there's such peace in his will. And I think that's where we are, is just knowing like there's potential, there's always potential for heartache in this life. But John 10:4 says, when he puts forth his sheep, he goes before them and his sheep follow them because they know his voice.
And as parents, I mean, we all know this, is there's always risk in any pregnancy. So, you know, you're always having to trust the Lord in this. And one of the things that Mark, you and I talked about back when we were over in Tennessee, is you have to trust the Lord's sovereignty, that God's in control of all these things. And so as Gloria's looked through all the medical journals and whatnot and done her, you know, Google research, at the same time, it's like, it seems as though, as you said, there's never been a case at the NEDC where a sexually transmitted disease has been has been transferred. But at the same time, these children exist and they need to be adopted, and you just have to trust the Lord with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just never know what you're in for when you have children, like you said, and that's part of it. That's part of the deal. So yes, this is very much in line with that. I want to talk with the two of you about your heart for doing this. You are not here because of infertility, which is great. You know, we have a lot of families that come through the doors of the NEDC who aren't here because of infertility. And then we have many who are, and we love serving both. You know, it's a great need, regardless of your own individual status. But you've mentioned that you do have several children of your own, which is great. I want to go back, though, and talk about how you first developed a heart for adoption in the first place. And really, from my understanding, Gloria, when I talked with you, it really started when you were a child, right?
Yeah, for sure. I grew up on the mission field. I was born in Hong Kong. My parents were missionaries, and their, you know, main calling, they felt, was from James, where it says that pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction. And so my dad based his whole ministry on that verse. And so he went into China and developed these relationships with orphanages that no other, you know, outsider could get into. And so we kind of got to go into the orphanages that were forgotten about by society and reflected that, you know, we'd, on our way to the orphanage, we'd see smoke rising from the road. And that was the bodies of babies being burnt, you know, after they died. And you'd go in, you never saw a child over like 8 years old because they were just so malnutrition. It was the worst of the worst. But God gave us so many opportunities to bring things to them, most of all the gospel. And it would change their lives. I mean, it would mean more to them than the only Christmas gift they'd ever get when they heard that there was a Father in heaven who loved them. And so it put it on my heart from, you know, before I remember, like it was just in my life. And then to find out that Todd really had that heart too, once we were married, was just a confirmation that the Lord had been leading that all along.
And it is a wonderful, wonderful reminder that, you know, a lot of people have misconceptions of God. And I mean, he is serious about sin. No doubt about that. You don't minimize that. But he also has a heart like you couldn't imagine for the vulnerable, the oppressed, and the weak. And his impulse is always kindness and compassion. Mm-hmm. And I think embryo adoption is very much in keeping with this, Todd. This is why you guys, one thing that led you here, I know you initially thought about international adoption and that route became closed largely. So one thing that led you here was that, I mean, it doesn't get much more vulnerable than these embryos in frozen limbo, right? These are God's tiniest image bearers who need homes.
Yeah. Right.
I think, you know, this is a test of theology in a lot of ways too. Do you believe that life begins at conception? Which obviously the Bible would affirm that. We affirm that. And with, you know, 1.7 million is the number that I heard last of embryos that are abandoned. That's a huge section of the population that is in desperate need of adoption. And as you said, God's heart is to, God's heart is for those types of people. And at the same time as well, the church has an opportunity to be able to kind of lead in this and to be able to promote adoption, to raise children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to give these children a chance at something that is truly amazing, which is a loving family. And I know not everyone who adopts is a believer, but for Glory and I, that is a big issue, is we want our life to be a witness and a testimony to God's love for us.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Are you able to advocate at all for the cause of embryo adoption, or maybe just go into your own story as a pastor, Todd, when you're in the pulpit? Is this the sort of thing that you are able to share at all with your congregation or with fellow pastors?
Yeah, I already have. You know, everyone in my church is interested because, you know, we already have three biological children. And so one, they think we're crazy that we're wanting to bring in more.
A little bit.
But at the same time, everyone's really interested in this. And we have another couple in our church that followed our lead, and they're in the process of adopting as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that God has blessed me with is I have a large network of pastors that I'm a part of here in Colorado, over 30 pastors. And when I brought this up to them at our last meeting, many of them had never heard of it. Maybe one of them had heard of it, yeah, out of 30, but they had not given it much thought. Mm-hmm. And as you and I talked about with various, you know, conferences and whatnot, there's an opportunity to bring this to people's awareness, because adoption with children who are already born is quite a long process, and it can be very expensive as well. Mm-hmm. And if you have children, you could be at a disadvantage for adoption, mm-hmm. as Glory and I found out that we were with many adoption agencies. Mm-hmm. And so here's a cheaper process for most, and also children that are just as in need of adoption as mm-hmm. those, the children that are born. And so, yeah, there's huge opportunity for the church and for pastors to bring awareness to this situation, especially with a like-minded organization like yours.
I met your children when you were here for your initial appointment. So you've had some time to reflect on it. They've had some time to reflect on their initial visit here. How are they feeling about this process right now?
Super excited. They're definitely praying, I think, on a daily basis that we get, you know, that two of them, I guess, you know, thaw effectively and have a successful pregnancy. They've gone back and forth on whether they want two boys or a girl and a boy, you know, so they are really embracing this as well, which is wonderful to see the Lord working in their hearts too.
Wow. I love it. Well, I can't wait to see what he does in the life of your family. I can't wait to see what he does in the life of your church congregation. And we very much look forward to having you back here, Gloria and Todd, for your frozen embryo transfer. In the meantime, thank you so much for taking just a few minutes to join me and help illuminate why someone would want to consider choosing special consideration embryos, and in your case, Hep B embryos. I think it's really informative. You know, we can say it as an organization. It's another thing when you have somebody who's actually doing it. So I just, you know, pray and believe that God is going to use that in really powerful ways. If you are listening and want to find out more about embryo adoption or embryo donation through the NEDC, you could go to our website, which is embryodonation.org. Again, embryodonation.org. I'm Mark Mellinger, and this has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast.